their features were portrayed accurately enough to identify their stage of development. Researchers had not recognized them because artistic renditions of fetuses are almost unheard of in European cultures. The first known drawing of one is by Leonardo. Other frequent themes included lepers, the pathologically obese, and people with thyroid deficiencies, all portrayed with a cool eye for anatomical detail. Perhaps the best-known subject is a man or boy gingerly holding a werejaguar, a limp, fat, sexless baby with a flattened nose and a snarling jaguar mouth. Often the baby has a deeply cloven skull. The denizens of San Lorenzo are unlikely to have shared Europeans' dismay at the physical deformity portrayed in these images. Indeed, by contemporary standards, highborn Olmec were deformed themselves. By binding small flat pieces of wood to newborns' foreheads, they pushed up the soft infant bones, making the skull longer and higher than normal. To further proclaim their status, wealthy Olmec carved deep grooves into their teeth and pierced their nasal septums with bone awls, plugging the holes with ornamental jade beads. Because no Olmec skeletons have been found, no direct proof of these practices exists. Instead, archaeologists base their beliefs on the portrayal of Olmec nobles in figurines and sculptures. Swanning about the elite precincts, the rich and powerful wore finely woven clothing, but only below the waist, breech clouts for men, skirts and belts for women. Veracruz was too hot for anything more. On public occasions, nobles bedizened themselves with bracelets, anklets, many-stranded necklaces, bejeweled turbans, and big hip-hop-style pendants. Some of the last were concave mirrors made from beautifully polished magnetite. Precisely ground, the mirrors were able to start fires and project images onto flat surfaces, camera lucida fashion. Presumably, they were used to dazzle hoi polloi. As for the poor, it is likely that they went naked, except possibly for sandals. San Lorenzo fell in about 1200 BC, victim of either revolution or invasion. Or perhaps it was abandoned and sacked for religious reasons. Archaeologists have advanced several hypotheses for the city's demise. What is certain is that the site was vacated and the stela defaced and the sculptures decapitated. The colossal heads being, so to speak, pre-decapitated, they were smashed with hammers and systematically buried in long lines. Vegetation overran the red ochre floors and the workshops that manufactured ceramic figurines and iron beads and rubber axe head straps. Olmec society was surprisingly unaffected by the collapse of its greatest polity. A much bigger city, La Venta, was going up on a swamp island about 40 miles away. Today, La Venta is partly buried by an oil refinery, but in its heyday, roughly speaking 1150 BC to 500 BC, it was a large community with a ring of housing that surrounded a grand ceremonial center. The city's focus, its Eiffel Tower or Tiananmen Square, was a 103-foot-tall clay mound, a bulging, vertically fluted cone somewhat resembling a head of garlic. The mound rose at the south end of a rectangular, 100-yard-long pavilion that was bordered by two knee-high berms. At the north end of the pavilion was a sunken, rectangular courtyard fenced on three sides by a row of 7-foot basalt columns atop a low red and yellow adobe wall.